This is Piedmont Arts. I'm Rachel Stewart.
An opera house to me has always been a place where the community can get together and celebrate what they have, and then enjoying the visceral energy coming from the stage and the pit.
That's Joseph Mekovich, the interim artistic director of Piedmont Opera in Winston-Salem. We'll be hearing more from him in just a moment. He's put together an innovative season for 25-26 that's going to offer a lot of variety for those familiar with opera and those not so familiar. This episode is mostly about opera, so we're going to take a look at the seasons of several opera companies in our region to see what they'll be offering in the coming year. And of course, Phil Vavra will be here with Fanfare, which helps you sort through all the fun things you can do in the week to come. Back in April, Piedmont Opera in Winston-Salem announced the appointment of interim artistic director Joseph Mekovich. And last month, they rolled out the 25-26 season lineup, which Maestro Mekovich put together. He has an extensive background in opera and has had various leadership roles for Kentucky Opera, where he was recognized for his innovative programming. He has conducted in opera houses around the world, and his repertoire covers the traditional and the modern. He's also known for his commitment to fostering the next generation of operatic talent, and I'm very pleased that he's able to join us today for Piedmont Arts. So, Joey, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I wanted to start with a quote that is in the press release, where you say, opera has the power to connect us to our community and spark emotional truths. And I wondered if you could say a little bit more about that.
If we look back to the history of opera houses, back to the 19th century, they just weren't a place where people experienced the art form like we do today, like sitting stagnant in a seat. But they were gathering places for the community, for friends and neighbors to, during a performance, eat, play cards, drink, smoke, leave to go get something else and come back. An opera house to me has always been a place where the community can get together and celebrate what they have. So it's that getting together of the community and then enjoying the visceral energy coming from the stage and the pit as an audience, as individuals, as people in a row or whatever, just experiencing that together.
So that's interesting. Your concept or what you're describing as the sort of original opera culture is way less formal.
It's formal. I mean, we don't want to take away that, but we also don't want to make it to be elitist feeling. People want to be a part of something that's exceptional. And opera, in its finest form, is an exceptional experience. And that experience does not stop at the proscenium. It extends into the theater, that experience, that exceptional experience, into the lobby, into the parking lot. It's making sure that the event is complete and everyone who's enjoying the moment with their friends, with their community, has this experience.
Can you give some ways that you've tried to create that experience in the past and maybe something you're thinking of doing this season with Piedmont Opera?
Well, you know, because the arts organizations in Winston-Salem are homeless, it's actually an opportunity. It's an opportunity to spread our wings and be innovative. For instance, our very first opera production is Leoncavallo's Pagliacci. Very famous opera. Leoncavallo's really only really famous opera. It's short, it's 90 minutes, and we're going to do it at the Millennium Center, which is an event center where they have weddings and lectures and other types of concerts, but we're going to turn it into an immersive experience where the audience is going to be surrounding the stage and be forced to be part of the experience, to be the onlookers of what is the drama that's happening right in front of them. There are other companies around the country that have done this immersive sort of operatic theatrical experience to great praise and a wonderful success. So this gives us an opportunity for people to experience opera in a different way, to get rid of that proscenium and to be sucked into the drama.
Wow. So that is interesting. You say that this is an opportunity. So does this mean it might be difficult to go back to staging them the traditional way?
No. I mean, what we do in the spring with Carmen is we're at the High Point Theater, which is a proscenium theater, and we're staging opera with all the bells and whistles that we're normally used to, right? Obviously, there'll be bells and whistles at the Millennium Center when we do that, but it'll be a different experience. The proscenium experience, where everyone's sitting in their seats looking at the stage, I mean, we're doing that in the traditional way. It gives us an opportunity to spice things up, to add a little cayenne pepper.
Yeah. And I will note that for Carmen, there is a new twist, or there's new scenic design that I guess Winston hadn't seen before.
Right. We are collaborating with a company, Knoxville Opera. We are building a set together. This is a great business model that a lot of companies do to share the costs. So we are building a brand new set that we are going to then own with our colleagues at Knoxville Opera. After we're done with Knoxville, we'll use the set in October for their production of Carmen. Then the set will come to Winston-Salem for our production of Carmen in March of 2026. And then we'll own that set and rent it out to other opera companies.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And you say that's a fairly common thing to do?
It is. Co-productions, yes. And the set that we're creating is something that's really innovative in the fact that it can work for smaller stages and also larger stages. It's modular. So it'll attract a lot of opera companies, I think, in renting this piece. Because Carmen's rarely done.
Right. In fact, I've barely heard of it. Well, I had a question written down. I think we've already touched on it. But, you know, another thing that you had said in the press release was that this 49th season is both a tribute to tradition and a commitment to reinvention. And I think you've talked a little bit about what some of the tradition is like and some of the reinvention. Are there any other new twists that are coming?
Well, yes, we have in June of 2026, the American soprano Karen Slack, who's going to present her concert called African Queens with the pianist Kevin Miller. This is an exceptional opportunity for her to come to Winston-Salem. She's sung this recital at Ravinia, at the 92nd Street Y, at Aspen. She did it in South Africa, and she's going to bring it to Winston-Salem. It opens up the Juneteenth celebrations in the Triad, the Black Theater Festival, and it's a free concert, a gift to the community. It's a series of songs by composers from America, African-American composers, and composers from the diaspora of Africa about women, Black women and their power and their grace and their commitment and their love. It'll be a really wonderful, wonderful evening. And it's a free concert that we're doing in June, sponsored by the Haynes Foundation, and it's a gift to the community.
And Karen Slack is, she's an award-winning soprano.
Yes. Correct. Yes, she's won a Grammy. I've had the pleasure of working with her on a couple productions of Jake Hickey's Dead Man Walking. I mean, she's an incredible, generous artist who exudes joy when she's on stage.
Yeah, it sounds like a great opportunity to see, you know, one of the great working opera singers of our day.
Exactly. In a very powerful and poignant evening of storytelling.
Right. And she put this together. This is a real personal thing for her.
She curated this entire program.
Right. Sounds great. What I also noticed that you've got in-home concerts coming up.
Yes. I mean, you got to diversify the portfolio. Not, again, going to opportunities. And there are different audiences out there that like different things. So having some opportunities of some intimate programming, we have three American singers who are just amazing. One homegrown over in Kernersville, Jill Gardner, who will be doing our Christmas concert. And that will be in-home and just a joyous celebration of she'll do some standards, and we're exploring the repertoire right now, what we're going to do. I'll be playing the piano. A gentleman who attended the School of the Arts, Richard Olarsarba, will be coming and doing a concert at Watson Hall at the School of the Arts. On the, I think it's the 28th of February. And then what I'm very much looking forward to is a dear friend of mine, Kevin Burdett, who is a world-renowned bass baritone who's starting at La Scala all over the world. He's in Santa Fe now. We're going to do Schubert's Winterreise in an intimate setting. I'm very much looking for that. And I've been practicing because I've never got to do the whole cycle, just little bits and pieces. So that is something I'm looking forward to next season quite a bit.
And so when they're called in-home, are they actually in somebody's home?
They're in someone's home. Exactly.
Okay.
Yes, they are.
So I'm imagining that those have sort of limited capacity.
They have limited capacity. Exactly. And these pieces, the Christmas concert, and most importantly, the Winterreise, are meant for that intimate experience. Schubert wrote the Winterreise for a salon. And so now we're going to perform it in the correct setting, in someone's home, in a salon.
Very nice. So you're named Interim. Right now, but I'm sure you've come in with some things you want to accomplish in your time here in Winston-Salem. And I'm just curious, what are some of the things that you would like to do with Piedmont Opera? What is some of the potential you see for Piedmont Opera?
Well, for me, since I travel quite a bit around the country and the world doing opera, it's important for me to engage with the community. And that's a big word, and people use that word all the time. How are you going to do that? You know, I think by our offerings right now, I think we have a disparate amount of different things for people to be interested in and also to get excited about. I want to be a force, a tangible force for people to connect with, you know, in any way that I can, so that opera, which is one of the crown jewels of the performing arts, remains a significant part of the cultural experience in Winston-Salem and High Point and Greensboro, the Triad at large. So it's about connecting the community. You know, artistically, I mean, my life, it's wonderful, but I have to fit into what the needs of the constituency are, right? So I always have an ear to what people want to see on the stage, what they need to see. Every community is different, what they want to see on the operatic stage. And I have to meet with the people in Winston-Salem, High Point, and Kernersville, and Statesville, whoever comes to the shows, and listen to what they want to see and what they want to experience in their opera company.
Are you getting a sense of that yet, or are you
Absolutely.
Too new?
Absolutely. I'm constantly talking to people. I live in Philadelphia, where I'm sitting right now, but I've been to Winston many times, and every opportunity I have, I engage with the people that I meet, asking what do they want to see from their opera company? What do they want to see more of, these concerts in restaurants and bars? What, again, diversifying the portfolio. Someone might go to one thing, but not go to the other. And we have to give them choices.
Right. Are there, the funding climate for arts is, I guess, in turmoil a little bit right now. And I'm wondering, how is it for Piedmont Opera?
We are a lean, mean fighting machine. The climate for fundraising is upside down, in turmoil, terrifying, right? But first of all, funding for the arts has always been in turmoil. It's always an uphill battle. It always has been that. But, you know, this shocking turn, this abdication of cultural responsibility, if you will, it's powerful, it hurts. But I read an article that inspired me. Is this the time to lean in to the community in offerings in a fiscally responsible way, but to make sure that you are a part of the tapestry of the community so that we can get through this together? So I'm trying to remain incredibly positive. I know that other arts groups are suffering, but I believe, and so far so good, that if we lean into our performances, lean into to creating an environment where people can escape the day-to-day things that are going on and celebrate the community that they're a part of, that will help, with quotes, to bridge us through this.
It'll be a good reminder of how important the arts are to people.
That's our job, right? We have to get out there and make people understand that this is important in your life, in making your community better, for bringing businesses in, for the education of your children. It's integral to making it a vibrant space.
Joey Mekovich is the interim artistic director at Piedmont Opera in Winston-Salem. You can find out more about their upcoming season at their website, which is piedmontopera.org. And in just a moment, we'll find out about some of the other opera company seasons in our area. But first, here's Phil Vavra with Fanfare.
Thank you. A Labor Day weekend always means plenty of fun things to see and do, with an extra day to enjoy them. From cool concerts to musical theater and a bushel of festivals, we're winding down summer in perfect Fanfare style. Named one of the best jazz festivals in the U.S., the 14th annual John Coltrane International Jazz and Blues Festival is happening August 30th and 31st at Oak Hollow Festival Park in High Point, the city where Coltrane grew up. The lineup includes Michelle and Ndegeo Cello, Richard Elliott, The Headhunters, Peter White, Ruthie Foster, Stanley Clark, and many more. The annual Around the Crown 10K is set for Sunday the 31st. Beginning at Truist Field, the race takes you around uptown Charlotte with much of the course on I-277, including the challenging stretch known as the Queen's Climb. Blumenthal Arts presents a reimagining of Jane Austen's most cherished story, Pride and Prejudice, as a witty musical. Austen's Pride will be at Knight Theater in uptown Charlotte for 8 performances, including 2 weekend matinees, September 2nd through the 7th. The North Carolina Apple Festival celebrates North Carolina's apple industry in downtown Hendersonville, August 29th through September 1st, with delicious apple-inspired treats, a street fair, family-friendly activities, a parade, live music, and an opportunity to meet many of our state's apple growers. And then there's the Earl Scruggs Music Festival in Mill Spring, North Carolina, the Matthews Alive Festival in historic downtown Matthews, the Low Country Jazz Festival in Charleston, the Mile High Kite Festival in Beach Mountain, and the 117th Canton Labor Day Festival, the oldest Labor Day festival in the Southeast, which is also a celebration of all things made in Western North Carolina. There are even more than that. Check them out on my complete fanfare column, and don't forget about the WDAV events calendar at WDAV.org. Have fun and stay safe this holiday weekend.
Okay, thanks, Phil. Well, now let's talk about some of the other opera companies that are in our area and what they'll be doing in the coming season. We've heard all about Piedmont Opera, but Opera Carolina is probably the biggest opera company in the state, and it is based in Charlotte. And this year is their 76th season. They'll be producing three operas. They've got a Puccini double bill, Suor Angelica and Gianni Schigi, coming January 16th, 17th, and 18th. And those are two of the three one-acts Puccini conceived as a set called Il Trittico. I guess they didn't have time to do the third one or something. I don't know. Also, Giancarlo Menotti's The Medium is coming April 17th, 18th, and 19th. And that's going to star Denise Graves, who's also making her directorial debut. And Denise Graves is a big name in opera and has been for years. And then their last opera production is going to be The Magic Flute, which is coming June 26th, 27th, and 28th. And it's a co-production with the Teatro Sociale of Como, Italy. Now, in addition to these opera productions, they're offering a Bel Canto in Canto concert series of four concerts. They'll have Pergolesi's Stabat Mater, September 11th at the Mint Museum, A Night to Remember, November 1st at Belk Theater, which is an evening of music sung by Puccini's heroines. Then they've got Lift Every Voice on February 28th at the Carolina Theater. This has become a tradition every year with Opera Carolina, celebrating Black History Month and the contributions of singers of color to music. And then you've got the Golden Age Concert with Aaron Morley and Lawrence Brownlee on May 2nd at Knight Theater. And that's what Opera Carolina has coming up.
Well, moving along to our state's capital and the North Carolina Opera, they have three major opera productions in 2025 and 26. Massenet's Cinderella, October 17th and 19th. It's a company premiere and will be conducted by Joseph Mekovich, who we talked to earlier in the program. Puccini's Madama Butterfly, January 30th and February 1st. They'll also have Verdi's Il Trovatore, April 17th and 19th, James Mina, who was with Opera Carolina for many years, will be the conductor for that performance. And all of the performances, by the way, are happening at Raleigh Memorial Auditorium.
And if we go back to the Triad, you know, there is a Greensboro Opera Company. And this coming year, they've got one main production, and it's Gilbert and Sullivan's The Pirates of Penzance, which will be March 5th at the Carolina Theater in Greensboro, not the one in Charlotte. And then on March 7th at the Virginia Somerville Sutton Theater at Wellspring.
And finally, to wrap things up, we're going to the Low Country and the Charleston Opera Theater. Their first production of the season is Bizet's Carmen, November 7th, 9th, and 11th at the Sotilli Theater. It's presented in partnership with the Charleston Symphony Orchestra. And they'll perform Pergolesi's La Serva Padrona at a date to be announced later. So just keep your eye on their website for more information about that to come.
So there you have it. That is a rundown of what's happening with opera in the Carolinas in this region. And next week, we'll take a look at what's happening with dance in the coming season. So thanks for listening to Piedmont Arts. You can catch all the episodes by going to wdav.org/podcasts or at Apple Podcasts or at iHeart Podcasts.